Earlier this year, I was working in my garden around sunset. I looked down and there was a beautiful, perfect yellow butterfly lying in the soil of a pot. I picked up this tiny being and I felt its tissue paper wings in my hand. It was so light and so fragile and so still. There was no flutter in its wings anymore. Tears flowed down my cheeks as I looked at the unique patterns on its wings and traced the veins with my fingertips. I'm not quite sure what those tears were about. Perhaps sadness that this beautiful creature would not fly again, or being in touch in such a physical way with death and impermanence. What I do know is that it touched a well of grief in me. So I sat on the porch in the fading sun, a small yellow butterfly resting in the palm of my hand, and I wept. Have you had an experience like this? Something unexpectedly brings you to tears, or a moment reminds you of a loss. As a chaplain, I go to the homes of people experiencing a health crisis, and I listen. I hear about their families, their work in the world, and how they make meaning out of their life's journey. We look at the photos that hang on their walls or rest on their mantles. We discuss their spirituality and often meditate or pray together. And we talk about their pain in their physical body and in their hearts. Often I hear about their losses, the death of their spouse or their child, the loss of their ability to drive or walk or see, the worry that they might not heal, their fear of death, or their readiness to die. Being with grief, other people's and my own, has become a daily and important part of my life. Sometimes this grief is subtle, hidden under other people's emotions. And other times this grief is so present, it fills the room with sobs and yearning. Through these encounters, I've come to know more fully that loss is a central part of the human experience. I imagine for some of you here today, loss and grief are present. My chaplain visits at home and in the hospital often bring to mind a Buddhist story called the mustard seed medicine. There's a woman and she lives in a village and she has a young child and the young child becomes sick, so sick that the child dies. And the woman is so distressed. She is so upset that she convinces herself that her child is just ill. And she hears from other people in the village that the Buddha might be able to heal her child. So she takes her child in her arms and she goes to the Buddha and she says, "Please help me heal my child." And the Buddha says, "I can heal your child if you can bring me a handful of mustard seeds from a house that has never known loss or death." And she is so excited about the possibility of healing her child. And she goes from door to door to door in her neighborhood. And as she first gets to the first door, everyone wants to help her. They all want to help her, but all they can do is tell her the stories of their own losses. After a couple of houses, she realizes that no one has not known loss. This is not something that we get through this life without this kind of pain. And surprisingly, this gives her some comfort. She knows that she's not alone in her sorrow. And that allows her to begin to heal and to grieve the death of her child. So I've been reflecting on grief a lot lately. And I'm wondering what helps us honor loss as a part of life that touches all of us. One of the most powerful experiences I had in my chaplaincy training was in our class on grief, where we're asked to complete this grief inventory, pages and pages and pages of potential losses in our lives. And when we arrived at class, we were paired up with one other person. And we were asked to sit and listen deeply and to ask one very simple question. How is your grief today? And then we listened. And when the person got quiet, we asked again, how is your grief today? We sat and we listened for 5 minutes to one another and then switched. Not only was the experience of listening deeply to another person powerful, it was a reminder that grief is present in our lives. Maybe not always intensely or on the surface, but it's there. So I wonder, how is your grief today? What would it feel like to check in with yourself and those you love more often in this way? Sometimes our losses are personal. The death of a family member or friend, the loss of a job, a home, our health, the departure of a minister, the ending of a relationship, or even a dream. Loss can sometimes feel natural, like the death of a parent or a loved one after a long and beautiful and fulfilling life. Yet often we're shaken by loss. It can be unexpected, untimely, and even violent. And although we talk about grief in our culture as an individual experience, we experience collective loss as well. Social injustices lead to the loss of human rights, the death of Black people from systemic violence, the separation of families due to broken immigration systems, the loss of life from war, mass shootings, and economic inequality, the violence inflicted on transgender communities, the extinction of species, and the degradation of the planet. I don't name these things to overwhelm us by the prevalence of loss, but this is our reality. We hear these stories and have these experiences every day. Loss is a part of life. Do we know how to be with loss? Do we know how to mourn? Or do we just keep going about our daily lives, pretending like loss doesn't affect us? I believe that to not be debilitated by loss, we need to learn to grieve individually and collectively. One of my favorite spiritual teachers on grief is Joanna Macy, a Buddhist eco-philosopher and systems thinker. In her book, Active Hope, she explains that the initial task of grieving is the willingness to feel our pain. This acknowledges that what we have lost is real and that it matters to us. We grieve only what we value. And ultimately, we grieve because we love. She explains that making space to grieve our collective losses is not only important, it is absolutely essential if we are going to continue the work for justice. She writes, if we felt the pain of loss each time an ecosystem was destroyed, a species wiped out, or a child killed by war or starvation, we would not be able to continue living the way we do. The losses continue because they are not registered. They aren't marked. They aren't seen as important. By choosing to honor the pain of loss rather than discounting it, we break the spell that numbs us from the dismantling of our world. Joanna Macy teaches that the creation of ritual spaces to honor our individual and collective grief are part of fostering resilience and transformation to live whole and fulfilling lives and to continue our work for a just and equitable world. So I want to invite you to imagine one of these rituals that Joanna Macy leads. It's called a truth mandala. So on the floor, there is a beautiful piece of fabric. Around the outside, there are some chairs and some cushions. And on the inside, there are a few objects that create a mandala, which is a sacred circle. The first is a rock. And this rock represents our fear. Because when we're in fear, our hearts get hard and closed and tight. There's a rock. And in the next corner, there are fallen leaves. And these leaves represent our loss. In this corner, there is a big, thick stick, And this stick represents our anger. And in this corner, an empty bowl. And this bowl represents our sense of emptiness or not knowing how to move forward. And the ground of this sacred circle is hope. And so each person who would like to is invited to step into the circle. And they pick up a piece. They pick up the rock and they speak about their fear. They pick up the leaves and they talk about their loss and their anger and their sense of emptiness. That's both personal, right? The things that we lose that are just about the people in our close circle, but also to name and to grieve all these collective losses that we face every day. So after everyone who wants to be part of the ritual speaks, the facilitator comes in and dedicates the close of the circle in this way. We lift up the rock and we say, when we express our fear, it can transform to trust because we've had the courage to speak it. Lift up those leaves, and when we express our grief and our sorrow, we realize it is equal measure love because we only mourn what we deeply care for. And we pick up the stick, and we realize that when we express our anger, it becomes our passion for justice. And when we pick up that bowl, we realize that when we express our emptiness, that this is also the space for the possibility of new things to emerge. I have facilitated this ritual many times with Unitarian Universalist social justice leaders at young adult camp and in a class on spirituality. It is almost always intense, but also transformative. And this is what I believe grief work often is, intense and challenging, but also necessary, transforming and life-affirming. We need to create spaces to grieve collectively, and I believe it is also our spiritual work to learn how to grieve our personal losses. This morning, I invited you to spend some time listening to the song Wanting Memories by Dr. Issei M. Barnwell. Dr. Barnwell is a singer, songwriter, and composer who performed with Sweet Honey and the Rock and leads workshops called Building a Vocal Community, Singing in the African American Tradition. Wanting Memories was originally written for a dance theater piece called Crossings and describes the bewilderment of grief and what solace may be found in allowing ourselves to grieve. The song begins, "I am sitting here wanting memories to teach me to see the beauty in the world through my own eyes. You said that you'd rock me in the cradle of your arms. You said you'd hold me till the storms of life were gone. You said you'd comfort me in times like these, and now I need you. Now I need you, and you are gone. Since you've gone and left, there's been so little beauty. Here inside, I have few things that will console." Isn't this what grief is like? It can be so hard to see beauty. We're flooded with all of these memories. We yearn for the comfort of those who are no longer here. We want to be held just one more time. At the height of it, we feel like nothing can console us. This song does not shy away from how hard loss is. The song just lets us feel and be. Perhaps you have a loss that you are coping with right now. I invite you to consider making time and space in your life to grieve. Allow yourself to feel what you feel: sadness, heaviness, anger, regret, out of sorts, moody, tired, irritable, lonely. These are all manifestations of grief. Notice if you have given yourself a set amount of time to grieve, and then give yourself some more time. And I invite you to cultivate an awareness about what helps you to grieve, because we're each different. Does it help to be alone, to talk to a friend, to join a bereavement group? Does it help to tell stories, to laugh, to reminisce, to pray, or to be silent? Does it help to listen to music, to make art, to swim, or to take a long, slow walk in the woods. Notice what gives you space to feel, to be, and to honor. The song Wanting Memories continues. Well, I am sitting here wanting memories to teach me, to see the beauty in the world through my own eyes. I think on these things that made me feel so wonderful when I was young. I think on the things that made me laugh and made me dance, made me sing. I think on these things that made me grow into a being full of pride. I think on these things, for they are true. I thought that you were gone, but now I know you're with me. You are the voice that whispers all I need to hear. This song reminds us that while loss is real, there are also essential ways that our connection goes on. Like the string, an invisible string in our story this morning. Places and things, sounds, smells, and tastes remind us of our beloveds. There are times when we laugh or we cry because an experience reminds us of the jokes they told us or the unique way they walked, talked, or gestured. The connection goes on in the wisdom they shared with us about how to live a meaningful life, to celebrate beauty, or to be a good person. And most importantly, the connection goes on in the love we have for them and the love they offered us. Grief is an expression of love. I believe that we must create spaces in our lives to grieve our individual and collective losses. This process of grieving can transform us, allow us a deeper reservoir of energy to keep on loving each other and to work for a more just and sustainable world. So I close my sermon this morning with one last story. It was fall and my husband was running through the park. And this big wind came and these leaves started falling from the trees. And then one of the leaves that was falling started rising up. And he realized that it was a beautiful yellow butterfly. And he ran back into our home and he said, "I just had the most beautiful experience." And he told me about it. And he said, "The title of your next sermon should be When Falling Leaves Become Butterflies." And I thought, that is a beautiful title. And I wondered, what is that sermon about? It's about loss and love and the possibility of transformation. It's about a small yellow butterfly I found in the pot on my porch, the one that made me weep. The butterfly that reminded me about the fragility of life, the tenderness of loving, and the sacred work of grieving. May we make space in our lives to honor loss. Blessed be and amen.